lunch, just some lettuce, two celery stalks. No booze, no potatoes, no ham. Dinner, one chicken wing, broiled, not fried. No gravy, no biscuits, no pie. And his diet and diet and diet and diet and sure is a rough way to die. So pass me a carrot.
I'm waiting for a celery somewhere.
Yeah.
You didn't have your headset on. That's the first thing Bobby Bear was singing about. Two celery sticks and something else.
Oh,
for
good.
Lunch.
Good, good. I missed it. Two celery sticks. It'll help you prevent ulcers, protects liver health, and boosts digestion.
Eat that celery.
It's one of those things, if it wasn't in such a staple of Cajun food, I would probably never eat it. That and tuna, because through high school, to stay under my wrestling weight class, that was all I lived on, was celery and tuna for months out of the year. And I got my fill at a very young age.
I bet you did. But yeah, you know, to your point, because of your competition in wrestling, weight loss is one of the big elements, and anybody that takes their dieting seriously, they're probably going to add celery to it. So it helps with a lot of things, and I'm glad that here in Arizona we grow celery. So good segue to asking, Chaz, I'm going to put you on the spot. So what's your diet like? You obviously preach healthy eating, but I'm curious what your diet's like.
And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Chaz Shelton. He's the owner and founding member of Merchant's Garden in Tucson. And you just got put on the spot by Julie asking his personal
yes.
diet.
Yes. What's your diet?
That's great. Yeah. You know, if I have to admit, like, you know, I didn't get into this business because I was a huge lover of lettuce. You know, I think there are so many other amazing reasons why we hopped in this, but I have fallen in love with lettuce. I usually do a head of lettuce every morning for breakfast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but actually I'm in the season of Lent right now and I've given up meat. So I'm doing just vegetables for the first time in my life, which is, you know, I've gotten rid of the sweets before, you know, the sodas and all that stuff, but taking meat totally out of my diet has been my biggest challenge yet so far, but it's going great and we're feeling healthy.
Well, hopefully it's just for Lent, because I'm telling you, there's no way I'd give up my meat. And
I'm telling you, yeah. I love it, yeah. But
giving up
we'll
the
see.
Chocolate, you know, that's mm-hmm. tough, especially before Easter, to give up chocolate. Mm-hmm. That's my thing. So you do eat what you grow, it sounds like.
Yep, yeah, absolutely. We, you know, we've really fallen in love with our fish too. Yeah, we have a processor out here in town that'll clean them up for us, and yeah, we love having our fish weekly here.
Well, and to that point, and you're using that as part of your system, the fish produce your fertilizer and allow you to be USDA certified organic. But now for the mature fish, I mean, is that also one of your products that you're selling, or is it exclusively focused on how you've got this closed loop system in your greenhouse?
You know, the fish are most valuable for that black gold, that fertilizer that they give us. But, you know, as they reach harvest weight, which is about a pound and a half, we do sell those. We'll sell them to a wholesaler who moves them kind of across the state, and a few different restaurants. So we are actually Monterey-based, sustainable seafood certified. And that was one of the attractive things about getting into this business, was kind of a high-protein diet as well as, you know, the leafy greens, so totally balanced. And, you know, I had a chance even this week yesterday, a gentleman, we gave a tour from the University of Arizona, and one of the gentlemen was from Puerto Rico, who's trying to do a similar model there after disaster relief. So, you know, I think if we think about the future of our company, we'd love to be able to go into locations that don't have access of the protein as well as, you know, the leafy greens and high dense nutrients from there.
Well, go ahead.
This business model just really intrigued. I'm asking a million questions inside my head. Am I oversimplifying it? by saying this is Mel Bartholomew organic on steroids? I mean, we've turned a school football field into a hydroponic organic garden supplying 40 restaurants, 2 grocery chains, and school system.
Yep.
I mean, this is square foot gardening on steroids, isn't it?
Have you ever thought of it that way, Chaz?
You know, I haven't. That's a fun way to put it, you know. But we really know, man. These farmers across the state of Arizona are big time, and they're doing amazing things. You know, our hope one day is to be able to kind of service Arizona in the ways that they are and do that. And yeah, we have kind of a smaller footprint here in this city, but you know, we really hope to be kind of the intersection between, hey, what's happening out there in rural America and to what, you know, to your plate. And so if we can be any part of that, we'd love to.
And I think that's what's so cool about some of these farming models. When you are setting yourself in a place that's a little bit more abnormal or unusual, and yet you can grow and it can prosper. So I love that. Question for you, because you're in a greenhouse, is the growing cycle at all different? In other words, from seed, because you're propagating with the seed, you're not taking seedlings and then replanting, so you're propagating from seed. Is there a change in that whole growing cycle with the plants that you grow?
You know, we make a commitment to our customers to grow the same products year round. And that does change our operations, though. It is much harder to grow in some seasons as others, but we're still able to do it. It just, you know, it takes a little bit more cooling from our evaporating cooling systems. And, you know, it's a little bit more of a struggle in the summer months to get, you know, seeds to germinate and to really grow to maturity, particularly, you know, like romaine lettuce and some of our herbs in the wintertime. But yeah, we grow the same products every day, year round.
So in some senses, you have some of those cycle peaks and valleys.
Mm-hmm.
You're telling me because it is a controlled growing environment, you can grow romaine year round. Yuma can't do that. They're mostly going to do that in the winter. But you're also telling me that your yields might be down in the summer because it's a little bit harder to maintain that perfect climate control in a greenhouse environment.
Yeah, you're spot on. You know, yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's thoughts, you know, of, hey, can we shift our customers of what they want, you know, in those off peak months so that we're not fighting, you know, Mother Nature in that. And that's kind of a more difficult task for us to do, but we hope to be able to kind of work with that as well.
Romy, it looks like you have a question.
Well, an observation you were saying about, you know, in the greenhouse, and you can grow more year round than, you know, traditional in ground row farming. You know, Yuma, January, they're can't harvest fast enough. Another thing that a controlled greenhouse would have is you can go vertical. You know, on flat farming, the ground you have is what you can. You know, you could go vertical on this system indoor. We had the aquaponic guy on a few weeks ago with Farmer Greg, and he was saying he's got to do his in ground to control the water. If you could keep that water temperature controlled inside this greenhouse,
right?
You know, you can start stacking your rows, and you double your harvesting without having to go buy twice as much land.
Well, and
yeah.
Go ahead, Chaz.
Oh, I was just going to say you're spot on. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a few different things that you can do to really kind of, you know, add that multiplier effect to what you're able to produce with a controlled environment.
And we even have, I need to bring them in next time. Don't let me forget, Romero family. They're growing, that, I believe.
Asking me not to forget is almost like a death sentence.
One of our, another direct market farmer with the Farm Bureau family, I believe they're growing their vegetables in railroad cars. So the innovation and some of the things that are going on in agriculture today, if you've got the right recipe in place, you can grow just about anything anywhere if you're determined enough to do that. And Chaz is absolutely proving this point with some of the things he's doing. I also wanted to ask really quickly, I hope we're doing good on time, is so if you are living it and breathing it, you're growing vegetables, which is such an important part of a balanced meal for us today as Americans, and you yourself are eating it, and you're eating your own product that you sell. So are you, when you meet with these students and you go give these tours to kids, are you teaching them about nutrition? Do you get a chance to kind of put that in the whole mix of everything that you're talking to students about?
You know, we that's a great question. We don't deliver the nutrition education component of that. When we were doing this in conjunctions with the school district down here, they actually had, you know, one of their chefs from their food service department and I think a dietitian or nutritionist actually provide that education. You know, we always say, hey, we're not educators, we're farmers, you know, in right. a way. And they're great at that, and they can really connect those dots a lot better than we can. But the hope is that, yeah, hopefully we can pull somebody in, you know, within our company to be able to consistently connect the dots between production and nutrition.
And you really need that combination. You need those expertise, by the way. And you may know her. I should connect you with Christy Wilson. She's based in Tucson. She's a nutritionist, graduate of U of A, and she's would be one of those individuals that could help with teaching the nutrition. She actually has her own business and is doing quite a bit, but she has that she has that innovative attitude like you do, and I think it would be interesting for the two of you to talk, and I know she'd love a tour of your farm. But you did mention that you can expand and you want to move a little bit further north in Arizona. What else is going to be big for Merchant's Garden and Chaz Shelton in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, that's a great question. We hope to, you know, another one of our milestones is, again, we want to offer on-site retail sales here at the farm, as well as we really want to start doing value-added activities. So for us, that's the packaging. You know, it's one thing to have a farm in the city and grow it, but it's another to actually get the product in the form that the customer and the consumers really want. So, and what I mean by that is when you're walking into that grocery store and you see a 4 ounce, 8 ounce bag of mixed greens or the 1 ounce clamshell. So we have a lot of interest to really start doing a little more processing here at the farm, and including kind of like automated packaging.
Okay. One of the pictures oftentimes I've used to feature you, you're showing those clamshell packages of some of your vegetables. And that's one of the things, that whole distribution and meeting all the requirements from some of your customers. And, you know, you constantly have to pivot to what the expectations of some of the retailers that want your product, right? Does it get overwhelming and complicated at times?
You know, it can, but, you know, ultimately, right, the value of our food is only as good as our ability to convey that value to the consumer. And so we're willing to go the distance to tell that story. And that's really what it is telling the story, you know, closing that gap from, you know, when there's not information, people, it's just human nature to tend to kind of fill that information in. And we want to make sure that, hey, that information that out there is true and accurate and is good, or reflects really well on our products. And so, and then it's just a great business opportunity for us too.
Absolutely. Chaz Shelton with Merchant's Gardens here on Rosie on the House this morning. And one of the things I like to mention really quickly, because you made it to the top 10, is you competed in American Farm Bureau Federation's Innovation Challenge. What happened there?
Yeah, you know, 2018, yeah, we were considered a semifinalist, and we were awarded, you know, a $10,000 grant by the American Farm Bureau, which was fantastic for our effort.
And it allowed you to invest more in your business and what you were doing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it really helped us kind of move our company forward, be able to really invest in some infrastructure and some automation to
move forward.
We have one final segment with the Farm Bureau and our guest, Mr. Chaz Shelton, the Merchant's Garden out of Tucson.